Hello and welcome to 10 out of 10 Mood Watch again with Lauren and Russ.
Hello.
And we're also joined by four funny little friends. We're currently dog sitting for our pals. So if you hear any barks, meows, general ruckus in the background, I do apologise. But the dogs want in on it too, what can I say?
Aye, molly bags.
So this week our movie is Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon, yes.
Do you want to hit us with your usual patter, Ross?
Aye, so a bit of information about it. It was released March 1987, directed by Richard Donner, who also done The Omen and The Goonies. He done loads of them. He done all the Lethal Weapon movies and that.
I was going to say, what a roster.
Aye, he's done a shit ton of movies. So starring Mel Gibson, Danny Glover and Gary Busey. They have a budget of $15 million and a box office of $120 million.
Much deserved.
And it went on to spawn three sequels, a TV show, and I believe there's a reboot on the way.
Allegedly so, yeah. Apparently there's Danny Glover and Mel Gibson are like signed up to do it. Lethal Weapon 5's coming, I think it's like next year or something.
Aye, fucking fighting old age.
Listen, Sylvester Stallone can do it with Expendables and Arnie can continue to pile out fucking shite Terminators.
Yeah.
They can bring back Lethal Weapon, do you know what I mean? So, you can tell me if this general overview is reasonable. Old cop and depressed cop team up to stop crazy drug dealers in LA.
Basically, I don't really know this. Don't really know the story of it because don't really need to know the story. It's just all the set pieces are fantastic in it.
Totally, totally. We'll dive into like thoughts and opinions. But like you say, like it goes at such like a breakneck pace, like, and for it being like nearly, like, I think it's round about 2 hours, like 1:45.
1:50, I think it is.
Like, it's never boring, and it's like we were saying it when we watched it the other day. We're like, God, this feels like such a fast film.
Yeah.
Like, and it's when you're watching it, you kind of forget. So me personally, because I'm in Egypt, I get the first two like muddled up together because I've only seen the first two. But I always watch them, like, consecutively.
Yeah,
do you know what
aye.
I mean? I don't think I've seen three or four. We may have to remedy that. I've definitely not watched the TV show. But I think both movies, this one especially, though, it's like, everything's going on. There's no time for you to, like, take a second and be like, what the fuck is the plot of this movie? Do you know what I mean? It's just very much like, right, we're at this guy, right, we're at this guy, boof, 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 shooting up. Oh, movie's done. Do you know what I mean?
A lot of these movies, though, you don't need to know the plot. There's nothing to do with the plot. Like, who cares what the plot is? It's about Mel Gibson and Danny Glover just kicking ass.
100%, 100%. That's the good thing, though, but, like, see, like, 80s and 90s cop movies, it was very much all action. Like, obviously, there's your subgenre of, like, corrupt cops and all this kind of thing, but, like, most of the 80s and 90s, like cop action movies were just, like, we're here, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys.
Yeah.
Fuck it up. Whereas, like, recent cop movies are more, like, they're more kind of politically charged and
aye.
All that kind of thing, and there's not as much action, which, I mean, there is a place for it, do you know what I mean? Some stories need to be told, some messages need to be hit home, but I do miss just driving up and down the freeway, shooting at the bad guys,
running
do you know
up
mean?
The freeway, a machine gun, and nothing happening.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, for one of my thoughts and opinions is, this might be the best buddy cop.
Oh, absolutely.
Out of a lot of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think buddy cop movies, it's like, for me, and you'll probably punch me in the face, like, more modern buddy cop movies, for me, my favourite one is like 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street,
yeah.
But that's just because they are hilarious. Like, this is just a good all round buddy cop movie. There's some good action. The patter's great. Their chemistry is so good.
Aye.
Like, the lines are just ripping out them, like, I'm totally with you,
so 80s it hurts.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, and there's been so many movies in that to try and copy this, which is a sign that you're probably one of the best ones.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. I think that's one of the things, I think if you haven't seen Lethal Weapon first, and you go on to watch, like, any kind of buddy cop movie afterwards, if you went back to watch Lethal Weapon, you'd be like, oh, I've seen this.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Aye.
But I'm totally with you. This is, like, definitely the best one.
Alright, another one I've got, I don't know if this is an item, though, is that, how does it look like Murtaugh's got all this money? And Riggs, obviously Riggs has gone through a lot of shit in it.
Yeah.
Living in his fucking caravan and that.
But it's a stunning caravan at the beach, what have you?
But how do we, some detective movies and all that, they're all broke.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm barely making ends meet. I need to go corrupt. Yeah, this guy can afford to remodel his home. Like, do it
every time.
I can't remember the third or fourth ones, but I wouldn't surprise if that's a recurring theme of his house just gets fucked up.
Yeah. No, totally. I totally agree with you. Like, I think that's the thing is, like, I'm going to throw out a curveball here, possibly a take, but I don't mean it to be. I think because it's an LA cop movie, like, there just seems to be more wealth around it, and there seems to be more, like, glamour about it. Like, see when it's, like, New York cop movies, see, like, your Serpico's, your... I want to say Seven. I know Seven is, like, unnamed city, but it's basically fucking New York, do you know what I mean? But, like, all these places are, like, grittier, it's dirtier, it's always raining, you have no choice but to become a corrupt cop kind of vibe. Like, whereas your LA cop movies, like Lethal Weapon, your Internal Affairs, everything's a bit sunnier, everything's a bit cheerier. There seems to be a bit more money going around. I don't know if any of that is, like, factually true in the actual LA and New York scene, but
that's what I mean,
definitely movie-wise, there's a huge difference.
Like, is rent that much cheaper, or buying a house that much cheaper in LA?
Yeah.
That you can live like that?
100%.
Rather than New York, or do they get paid more?
Yeah, I don't know. Because, Stevie, you can tell, I'm on my tangent, right? I feel like you can tell by 80s and 90s posters of the movies what movie is going to be a New York cop movie or an LA cop movie. And I know, obviously, you've got your bits in between, your, like, Chicago's, your San Francisco's, your Boston's, blah, blah, blah. But, like, all 90s and 80s New York cop movies, the posters are always, like, black, red writing, shadows across the face. Whereas, like, LA cop movies, they're always, like, brighter colours, bit more yellow, everyone's looking a bit happier, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, so, I don't know, man. I don't know what the general vibe was in the fucking 80s for LA to be the place to be, but I'm totally with you. Like, he's got, what is it, he's got, like, four kids?
Three or four kids, I think. I can't remember.
And a cat and that big cracking house. But, like,
and a fucking boat.
And a boat, yeah, that he never fucking goes on.
Doesn't know how to use it.
Don't see that in New York cop movies. They're all in, like, a bed set being like, it's all about the job. I gotta do the job.
<That's> fucking mental.
Okay, well, going off of yours that you don't know if is an A or a thought and opinion, I have the same. I don't know if this is an A or a thought and opinion. So, Lethal Weapon, opening credits, Christmas movies, there's fairy lights everywhere, Christmas trees at the start. It is very obviously set at Christmas time. If Die Hard can count as a Christmas movie, does Lethal Weapon?
No, because Lethal Weapon's not a Christmas movie, nor is Die Hard a Christmas movie.
But okay, go, tell me.
It's set at Christmas, but when did they come out?
Well, you said this one came out in, like, March.
March. So what's Christmassy about that?
Yeah, but it's like gearing up, what? Isn't it? Then why are you bringing up a movie set?
What do you mean gearing up? Gearing up 9 months?
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you bringing
out? In 9 months, you know what? This is going to do well.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, why are you bringing out a movie set at Christmas in March?
It's just the time, but there's nothing Christmassy about it.
That's stupid.
Like, even Die Hard came out as a summer blockbuster, not a Christmas movie.
Yeah, but that's, like, set at Christmas, and Christmas is shit. Listen, if you want to use Christmas as an excuse to watch Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, crack
the one. Do you want. I don't really give a fuck what you do. But it's more, it's not, they're not Christmas films.
That was so aggressive. I don't give a fuck. I don't bother.
If you want to watch Die Hard and Lethal Weapon at Christmas, go ahead. But
I didn't realise you were just so aggressive about this. I don't give a fuck when you watch this film.
It's just
stupid. It's not a Christmas film.
Not a Christmas film. None of them are Christmas films.
Oh no, too good.
Release it in March. Oh, we're gearing up for Christmas. I may bother. Christmas is just 3 months out.
I don't know. I'm not really. I know some people are super passionate about, like, Die Hard being a Christmas movie. I don't really care, to be honest. Like,
all that deep.
Do you know what I mean? Do I watch it at Christmas? Crack on.
Watch whatever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah. I feel like Die Hard and Lethal Weapon kind of fall under that category the same way that, like, Nightmare Before Christmas does, where there's, like, two set occasions you can watch these movies. Like, if you're going off that, like, you can watch them at Christmas or you can watch them, like, during the summer.
Yeah.
Like, Nightmare Before Christmas, obviously, you can watch it at Halloween or you can watch it at Christmas. Like, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Obviously, it's not, like, whereas your movies, like, Miracle on 34th Street, The Grinch, like, Elf,
Those are
December
Christmas
films, yeah.
Those
yeah,
are
yeah.
Christmas movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, the whole theme around them is Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas isn't the main
There's
thing.
There's the message of Christmas. Yeah, yeah,
Christmas
yeah.
isn't the main thing in Lethal Weapon or Die Hard. It just so happens to be set at Christmas.
Oh, it's the bit in Die Hard and it's like, I have a machine gun. Ho, ho,
yeah.
ho.
But it's, like, Christmas isn't the main thing about it.
Yeah, okay.
That was just a setup to get people in there.
Okay, okay.
Oh, it's a Christmas party. Oh, it's a Christmas movie then, is it? Fuck all, we do it.
Okay, right, okay. Yeah. Apologies for riling you up, big man.
There's a lot of shite.
I think as well, steering away from the hot take questions, right, and actually coming back to talk about the film, I think this is a good movie for nutters. Like, as in, like, everyone in this is a nutter. Like, Mel Gibson, nuts, but, like, was actually nuts at the time. Well, he's super nuts now. This is the thing that really drives me nuts about any Mel Gibson movie, because I love a Mel Gibson movie, right? It's so annoying, right? Because he's so good in this movie. He's so good. He's so engaging. He's just, sensational. But watching it, knowing what we know now about Mel Gibson, it really does taint it. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? And it really annoys me when you watch a Mel Gibson movie and it's like, stop. Like, just shut up. Just make your movies and shut up. He's kind of getting a comeback now, though. He's in that, or he was in that terrible John Wick TV show.
He's done a few things. He's done that. Was it Get the Gringo?
Here, that was alright.
That was good. Then obviously he went out of more of his directing things.
Oh, God.
He'd been more of a director, which, fair enough. Good on him.
So that's all a bit much, though, do you know what I mean?
Aye, so talk about nutters then.
Oh, God.
How much coke was Mel Gibson on in this movie? And the next question is, who was on more coke, Mel Gibson or Gary Busey?
Ooh, okay, okay. No, 100%, like, 100%, like, do you know how that urban legend about the Do They Know It's Christmas Band-Aid thing, where it was like,
bring it back to fucking Christmas?
No. Well, if the shoe fits, right? But no, that, like, urban legend of, like, they spent most of the budget for the song on the coke.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's this movie.
I think that was, like, every 70s and 80s movie, though.
Yeah, man.
You had to have a set budget for your dealer.
You know, yeah, 100%. Because you know Mel and Big Gary were just ripping it.
No, for fuck's sake, of course.
That's what I mean as well about this movie just being full of mental bastards. Like, Gary Busey, mental.
Aye.
Fucking
he is a genuine nutter.
Mental. He's had a weird one, but, like, he was good. Do you remember in Under Siege when he just shows up in drag? It's like, you know that was his fucking idea. You know he was out his tits and went, I've got a good one. Like, he's not in this movie a lot. The bits that he's in are just super fucking, right. Like, the first 5 minutes of meeting Gary Busey in this movie and he's, like, burning his arm, you're like,
it just looks like a nutter, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he was in real life. Like, Do you remember, this is another tangent, my apologies. Do you remember years ago when there was that show,
Celebrity Rehab?
Yeah.
Aye.
And he went on it and, like, didn't think he was a patient. He thought he was there to, like, help everyone. And there was, like, a whole episode of everyone just being like, fuck's sake, Gary, you're in here with us. And he was like, no, I'm not. No,
I'm here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, God, the denial. But it's, it really is, like, I'm with you. I feel like, how much did you say how much the budget was?
15 million.
15. I'm going to say at least 12 of that was on coke.
Aye, he's got to be into it.
And
just
you,
paid them in coke.
Yeah, that's it. They never even got money. They just got paid in bags.
Aye.
But, like, I think that kind of 80s coked out loonball behaviour, like, really adds to this movie. And just, like, was a thing.
If,
like,
you need a guy who's a bit unhinged,
Mel Gibson.
Because that's the whole point with buddy cop movies is, you have the ones that, I don't want another partner,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't want to get another rookie, trainee and all
that.
Then, like, obviously Danny Glover's guy, so he's getting older. I think later on it goes, oh, nearly retiring and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At 52, I ain't bother.
Then if you need a guy to be mental, like the crazy body cop, the sidekick, you're like, fucking Mel Gibson will do it.
And it's just Mel Gibson tweaking out his audition.
Just Mel Gibson. Like, that's how Mel Gibson sees everything in his head, the way he acts in this.
Oh, something's just come into my head now. You were saying, is this the best buddy cop movie? This might be a long shot. This might be an absolute swing and a miss. Does Training Day count as a buddy cop movie? Because he's obviously, fucking clues in the name, Training Day.
I don't know.
But he's got, obviously, Denzel is got his wee rookie, and then it absolutely descends into chaos.
I don't know if it's more the two of them are sitting solving doing the thing, but I suppose it could be. But
this is an actual buddy cop movie, whereas Training Day is just Denzel's a prick. 100%. Yeah. But if Training Day is getting included, if Lethal Weapon's number one, Training Day is a close number two.
Aye,
because that.
I don't know. I need to think about if that's a buddy cop movie.
I will add that to the poll. I'll do a poll on the Instagram of whether Lethal Weapon counts as a Christmas movie, and I'll do another one on if Training Day counts as a buddy cop movie.
Aye, Paul, that's a good shout, actually.
See, like, obviously we were talking about the buddy cop thing, and their chemistry's great, and they just, do you know what I mean? Like, apparently they are pals in real life, but see, even watching this, I'm like, there's being a good actor and there's actual being pals, do you know what I mean? Like, they seem like they really get on. The chemistry's great, the patter's great. There's so many, like, good quips in this movie, and there's so many, and most of the good lines come from Mel Gibson. Like, see when he's up talking to the jumper, and he's like, oh, here's a cigarette, oh, if we take our time, we'll die of cancer, and all this kind of thing, and then when Gary Busey shoots him, and Danny Glover runs over, and he's like, oh, 2 inches higher and you'd be dead. And he's like, 2 inches lower and I'd have been a falsetto for life and all this kind of stuff.
Mel Gibson just steals it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, Danny Glover's more the setup man. Yeah, called the show man.
He's just the constant, calm. But
Mel Gibson, they've just said to him, look,
go for it.
You just do what you do.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how they would have got it, because the Mad Max movies before this, that kind of got him. Like made Mel Gibson,
but
he's not that type of character in those.
No,
so I don't know what movies they've seen him in. They'd be like, you'll play a mental bastard pretty well.
100%. I mean, Mel Gibson was I don't want to say is, but like was like a really good like character actor. If you know what I mean, like he's totally different in every movie. I mean, to be fair, in every movie they still give him his 5 minutes of like, go off your nut. Yeah. Like Ransom, he's like this calm billionaire the whole way through, and then it's just like, give me back my son. Like, same with like Braveheart the Patriot, he always gets 5 minutes of just being like, wah!
Yeah,
like, he was such a good like character actor, and that's what's so annoying is like when you watch him and you're like, oh my god, you're so engaging, you're so good, like I am here in this movie for you.
Is that every movie he's in, he takes, you're looking at him, like, there's not many actors he could go against where it's he's the background.
No.
Like, you can't, like, Mel Gibson, it's just his presence. When he comes to the screen, it's like, fuck, that's Mel Gibson.
Yeah, totally.
Like, there's not many actors I can't think of any you could put him in with.
Where he's not going to outshine everyone.
They might try and steal a scene, but they'll look stupid doing it with Mel Gibson just... You just know, like, that's Mel Gibson doing that, 100%. That's fine.
Even in that terrible John Wick TV show, it was like, every time he showed up, I mean, the accent was a bit off, but it was like, yep, there he is, he's still got it. Like, maybe that's it. Maybe being a total arsehole gives you that edge.
It could be.
Also, this is such a stupid thought and opinion, but just love that the bad guy's last name was McAllister. I was like, hey, shout out to Trips.
I don't need to see any relation.
I phoned them up.
Aye, so another one is, who did you say this was written by? Then it got redone.
Oh, okay. So it started off as a Joel Silva script, and he wanted to get it made. And then to be honest, there's so many different takes on what happened on the internet that I didn't really know what one was true or not, but... basically he'd written it so that it was this ridiculous, over the top, like borderline end of Scarface, but the whole movie, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the studios were like, fuck that, there's no way we're making that. So they brought in Shane Black to rewrite it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's why in Lethal Weapon there's quite like opposing bits going on. So obviously like
You can tell who wrote what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the start of the movie where you've got like your naked coked up prostitute leaping off, that's Joel Silver. The ending is Joel Silver.
Yeah.
And like all the kind and the jumper, see, be honest, all the bits that I was like, that's quite possibly my favourite scene are Joel Silver bits.
Yeah.
And Shane Black just kind of tried to tie it all together. But basically Shane Black was kind of shouted in to be like, calm this down. This is getting a bit excessive here, do you know what I mean?
And he's trying to bring it back down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just yeah. Cause I think if it had, from what I've read anyway, the original script was going to be fucking insane. Like, I don't know, like a modern day Fast and the Furious, but 40 times more cracked up kind of thing.
That would have been too stupid.
Too much, too much. Whereas, like, I think Shane Black was brought in to kind of bring the humanity in, because I think in the original, Danny Glover's supposed to be as kick-ass as Mel Gibson, and Mel Gibson is supposed to be more unhinged, do you know what I mean? And they were just like, nah, we're just going to rein that the fuck back in.
Aye. That's because you can tell with Summit, is it? I mean, don't get it, this is famous for its, like, one-liners and all.
Yeah.
Like fucking mutter, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
Like everybody uses that.
Oh my God.
Even if they don't know it's fully for weapon, mm-hmm. is it? You've heard that enough times, like, fuck's sake.
Yeah, like, we quote that like daily.
Oh,
like,
aye.
Gotta take a bins out, Ross. Nah, I'm too old for this shit.
I'm like, getting too old for this shit, aye. That, and as you said, all the jumper lines.
Like, so funny.
And even the way he does it is that like, when he handcuffs him, then he's like, right, I'm getting off.
Aye.
And he's like, you're crazy. And he's like, you want to see crazy?
Yeah.
And
he's like, just
all the shit. Even the bit, when you first meet Mel Gibson, is it when he's getting the coke? Is that 100? He's counting it out.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Is it no 100 grand? Then he's like, "All right, sorry." Like,
oh, sorry, I can't quite possibly afford that right now.
Aye, it's just it's too good one.
That actual jumps into one of my favourite scenes of the film, which is that like that's a real badge. I'm a real cop, and this is a real fucking gun. And it's like, wow, okay, cool. I'm in. I'm fucking in.
And we get our old credits moment as well.
Oh my God.
When it's they're in the car park,
in the garage,
and they're like, oh, we should get you registered as a lethal weapon.
Roll credits. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do. There's nothing more satisfying in a movie when they say the title of the movie in the movie.
Oh,
do you
that's
know
the
what
best.
I mean? But it's like, that's like very specifically like an 80s and 90s action trope.
Uh-huh,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's like, Predator, what's that? Predator. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like that. See, the saying the title of the movie and the movie is up there with the trailer voice of In a World, where, like, do you know what
oh,
I mean?
Of course.
So good.
Like, what is it? The best one? Was it Face Off?
Gotta take his face off.
That's a
face
fucking
off. Yeah. Aye, there's basically loads of Nick Cage, like, The Rock, welcome to The Rock. Yes!
Aye.
And it's always those bits where you're, like, in the back being, like, amazing, sensational.
Well, another thing I've got here is, when did the heroin stuff start getting phased out of movies?
Yeah, I'll give you that. Aye. Because now it's all kind of, now most movies are like kind of weed and coke. Like that's kind of what, if you're going to do like a drug thing in a movie, it's always large shipments of weed, large shipments of cocaine. But yeah, like the 80s and 90s, it was like, fucking heroin, man. Everyone's doing heroin. It's like, okay, like, no problem. Yeah, I've not heard a movie call it merchandise for a while, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, when did that start getting thingies out? I wonder, though, if it's like, I don't know, because this all kind of falls under the, like, war on drugs kind of thing in America.
I suppose so.
So, like, I'm assuming they kind of, it had to be heroin to, like, hammer home, like, look, isn't this terrible? Look what's happening to our youth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I suppose you don't really get a lot of things. Or like, do you know that way, if heroin is in a movie these days, you know they're right bad bastards.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean? Like, whenever they're doing heroin in movies, there's always like lassies chained up.
I think
like,
it shows you more the effect of it rather than, oh, these are baddies just because they're doing
heroin. They're
selling
heroin, yeah.
Like, they try and portray them more as monsters.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if there's like a movie doing heroin, there's always like, a couple of lassies chained to a bed with like needles hanging out their arm. There's always like a guy with one eye like trying to measure everything out and all that.
Yeah.
It's like pure fucked. Actually, this just came into my head. Was heroin in... No, I suppose Taken doesn't really... Never mind, I take it back. I was going to say... No
trafficking?
How, yeah, I know it's... I know, because I was going to say Taken is obviously trafficking, but they kind of smack them up, don't they? Like...
Yeah, they drug them up, but that's not the... The main
doesn't
thing
say,
in it.
More, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
I think it is more just because you see it on the boat and that, they'll try to sell
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Or
not
like,
on the boat, in the hotel, I think it is.
See, do you remember the Dread movie with Carl Urban and Lena Headey? I know yeah. that's not heroin, but it's like that world's take on it.
Yeah, yeah,
do
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, you don't really see... I think some most movies now, it's always like, here's this new drug that we've created, and it's like, just stick to the old ones, man. Like, aye. The old ones are effective enough.
Have you got any more thoughts or opinions? Because I think I've kind of went through mine.
Yeah, no, I'm all good. I'm all good.
So next thing, we'll just jump into, what is your favourite scene in this then?
So I'm between two. I'm between the Christmas tree bit, where it's like, that's a real badge, I'm a real cop, that's a real fucking gun. And it's like the, oh, 100,000, oh, fuck. Or the jumper scene. I think that is so funny. Like, obviously it's not funny, it's very sad. But like, he like pulls him out and it's like, obviously this guy's like, don't try anything, and Mel Gibson's up there and you're just like, of course he's gonna fucking yeah. What about you?
I don't know. I'm thinking the opening scene. That's pretty memorable.
Yeah.
All of them, it's probably for me, when you think of it, it's the jumping scene.
Yeah.
Or like the opening scene for it.
Which is also a jumping scene.
Fair enough. But I mean, the most...
Is memorable, that just because there's a woman with her tits out?
Nah, no 15. But the most memorable one, and it's a shame it's not in this movie, has got to be the toilet bomb in the second one.
See, this is the thing, is I always get confused.
I
always get the farts too confused. Like, they just... Because I remember when we put this on, I was like, oh yeah, the toilet bomb's in this. And you were like, no, it's fucking not.
Nah, but that, there's so many cool ones. Like, even the torture scene, when he's got him, like, in the shower bit, and he's electrocuting him. I remember being a kid, that looks fucking cool as fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Ross, that says a lot about you.
No, but I've seen it in some movies. Like, is it Rambo, he gets electrocuted in one of them? But this was the first time I've seen it. That's pretty creative it's pretty evil.
Was it creative as shit
to do that?
Now I'm really worried to be around electrical products with you.
But I'd probably say the opening scene.
Yeah. No, that's
the most memorable for me.
I mean, what a way to start your movie, do you know what I mean? Like, aye. It's all Christmas music and then boof, you've got like...
That, and the one thing I should have put in thoughts of pains was the soundtrack, just so 80s, it's so cheesy, synthy, saxophone 80s, it's disgusting.
And like, I've kind of got that in E. Like... The saxophone is in weird places that a saxophone shouldn't be in. Like, do you know me? And to me, if I hear a saxophone in an 80s or 90s movie, I know somebody's going to have sex. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm with you.
Like, and then there'll be bits where, like, Myrtle, Danny Glover's walking down the street and all you hear is like, and I'm like, this saxophone should not be used here. Like,
I think Eric Clapton was involved in the music for this.
Yeah, so. I want to phone him up and be like, what was the thinking here? What was the process here? Like,
he's a fucking arsehole anyway, who cares?
Poor man. Like, do you want to dive into useless information?
Aye, go ahead.
I know we kind of spoke about the Joel Silva, Shane Black thing. I didn't include it in useless information just because there's so many different parts of it. There's so many contradicting bits that I didn't know what was just an outright lie or not, do you know what I mean? So, allegedly will be used strongly, right? And also, because we were talking about Die Hard earlier on, Bruce Willis was offered the role of Riggs, turned it down, and ended up getting Die Hard. Mel Gibson was offered Bruce Willis's part. What's his name in Die Hard again?
Fuck.
McClane. Mel Gibson was offered John McClane, turned it down, got Lethal Weapon. But that's a kind of cool, like, ooh, what would Die Hard have been like if Mel Gibson was in it? And what would this movie have been like if Bruce Willis was in it?
Yeah.
I think Riggs would not have been as mental.
No.
Bruce Willis is a lot more, like, contained rage. Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
But also, I think I'd be more worried for the bad guys if Mel Gibson was John McClane, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
Like, there wouldn't just be like bad guys flung down lifts, they'd be like amputated.
Vicious, aye.
Isn't it? Ridley Scott was originally supposed to direct Lethal Weapon, but after the massive fight he had with Warner Brothers while filming Blade Runner, and I could tell you all about that, but I'll save that for the Blade Runner episode.
Aye.
Basically, there was just all these tensions. They were always fighting. Ridley Scott was like, fuck this, I'm not doing it. Yeah. And like Joe Silva, obviously who originally wrote the script, was like begging him to reconsider. And Ridley was like, I'll never work with Warner Brothers again. I think he eventually did, but I can't remember what movie it was. But he was
movies he's done it.
Yeah, he was like, nah, you've fucking ruined it for me after Blade Runner. And I was like, fair play. To add tension to the scenes between Gary Busey and Mel Gibson, the director would tell each of them that the other ate the last donut.
Fair enough.
Apparently it really used to piss Gary Busey off. So like, I couldn't stop watching it last night when I was like, Gary Busey's like looking at Mel Gibson just full of hatred. And I'm like, he's raging because he hates Mel Gibson and ate his mad glazed donut. I think that sounds a bit like a euphemism, but you know what I mean?
Oh.
When Riggs handcuffs himself to the jumper, when they jump, you see the handcuffs break.
Yeah,
it's like rubber handcuffs. You see them break, and they're only holding hands. And then when it gets to the bottom, they're joined back together. I was like, amazing. And also,
I got a feeling that's probably that's a one and done.
Yeah.
You're not getting a second go at that.
They've had to blow up that defibrillator thing for them to land on. Absolutely not. You'd be like, right, we've got this for one time. Go. No, totally. This one's a bit mad, and also adds into our Mel Gibson is nuts theory, right? So the scene where Riggs is contemplating suicide right at the start, and you see him put the bullet in the gun, and the gun goes to his head and his mouth, right? Mel Gibson snuck in a real blank bullet in the gun, right? And said that this was going to spur on his performance and add to the intensity and the emotion to the scene, right? Now, I was looking it up. If this had gone off even by accident, he's dead.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Like,
easy, hi.
Like Brandon Lee and the Crow. Well, to be fair, there's many different things of why that happened or whatever. But again, blank bullet was inserted in a gun that it wasn't supposed to be, killed him. There's so many things in movies where it's like accidental death through this. So I don't know what the fuck Mel Gibson. I mean, we know why. He's not, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was like, because there was like a thing with him and he was like, oh, I just thought it would like really add. But apparently allegedly the production crew and all that didn't know he did it, and they were all horrified when he told them and all this kind of thing. But I don't believe that for a second. I think that's up here. Aye, go for it, Mel, go for it.
I don't know what the rules are, or what the rules were, but I'm sure if you have weapons like the armourer has to hand you the gun.
Yeah.
And basically double check all the bullets.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how far that would, I don't know how true that is, but he's a fucking, it wouldn't surprise me if he did just
either of all just ripped lines and been like, yeah,
I don't know when they would have tightened up the rules. So obviously you had all the fucking carry on with Alec Baldwin and that.
I was literally about to say that, even just as recently as Alec Baldwin, like they were trying to get him done for murder and it was ruled accidental, obviously.
Yeah,
like,
so it's a bit of a, see, he's fucking, wouldn't it surprise me if he just said to the guy, when I take it, I don't
fuck
care.
It, Mel, and you go, have
aye, who cares?
Remember when we watched that documentary about Brandon Lee, and it was, there was about four different stories in the documentary of what happened.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, it was supposed to be a dummy bullet. Somebody put a real blank there. Like, I don't know, absolutely mental. But yeah, that's all my useless information. Just basically Mel Gibson's mental and Joe Silva is a riot.
That fucking makes sense. So we'll jump into then.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot. I've only got a couple just because there's not, the movie doesn't explain enough to give you loads of plot holes, if you know what I mean. Like, it's just like, rattles through.
As I've said, I couldn't tell you what the story is of this, but other than they've got heroin.
Yeah, like, and sort them out in good 80s violent fashion.
Aye, that's it. So what have you got then? We'll try and discuss it.
I don't know if this is going to go down well. And I'm really sorry. And I mean this. I mean it from a place of love. But Danny Glover's daughter in this, his teenage daughter, gives me the absolute fear in this movie. Like, why are you running in on your dad in the bath, then hanging around to give him cuddles and kisses while he's in the bath, right? Heebies, jeebies, right? Then when she comes down with the dress and she's like, look, daddy. And then he goes, oh, right?
Yeah.
Now, I understand, right? I get it. Dads with daughters, they grow up. It takes you a minute to adjust to them being kids, to being teenage developing girls. But there was just a real weird sexual undertone to everything the daughter did. And again, that weird 80s sex saxophone just came on every time the daughter was on the scene. And I was just like, ugh. But then also, I don't know, maybe it wasn't weird at the time. Maybe it's only weird now because we're seeing it through a 2024 lens where we know dodgy shit is a thing. But I don't know, man. I just felt like there was a really weird undercurrent of unneeded sexual tension between the fucking daughter and her dad. That gave me the heebies.
Fuck off.
No, did you not get it? Did you not pick that up?
How many comedy movies have you seen where the dad's like disgusted by it? Is it like, you're not wearing that, you're not doing that, and you get weird sexual tension vibes?
No, I'm not being funny.
That is a fucking hot take, man.
No.
That is a hot fucking take.
I'm not being funny. And maybe it's just because whenever I hear the 80s saxophone, I think somebody's about to have sex, because in about 98% of 80s and 90s movies, as soon as you hear a saxophone, somebody's getting their hole.
So dear man,
why was the saxophone played every time the daughter came on? And why is she like, I was just sitting there and I was like, I have never, as a teenager, went into when, if my dad's been in the bathroom.
No, that's weird. I'll give you
right?
that. But not,
why are you still talking to your dad?
The thing with the dress and all that, that was just him disgusted. Like, oh no, like, you can't wear that.
Okay.
Don't get this weird sexual tension thing.
Okay.
Like, obviously the whole point is with Riggs and
her. Riggs firing at me. But, no, he's not firing at him, but aye, she's, but like, pure.
Not with her, not that.
No, okay, it gave me the heebies, man. I don't know, man.
That's something you need to look into. That's
no!
That's no Lethal Weapons fault.
No. I just
say for a 2024 lens, and 2024 needs to take a good look at itself then.
I just feel like there's too much saxophone for a simple dad and daughter cuddle. It gives me the fear.
You're giving me the fear.
Well, I'll hit you with one that you'll like. Riggs's dog, wee Lassie Jr., must be the best trained dog ever.
It just doesn't get a fuck.
Just that dog takes its cell out. That dog's like, nay bother, you got your work, I'm going to run up and down this beach, leave some food out, don't worry about it, I'll see you when you get home. Like, yeah. Just pure. But that's another thing. It's like, it's just, that's another thing with like 80s animals, do you know what I mean? They were just like hardier, do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
I built different. Right. So for mine, I've only got one. And it's no weird sexual tension things.
Ross, don't. You're making me feel weird about it.
You should feel weird about it. The end, when it's they need to fight it out. Would that happen?
I was like, do you know what? My last one.
Like, would they form a ring? And be like, right, let them fight.
Yeah, let them fight. Like, yeah, no, totally. I was thinking that when I was watching it. I was like, understand that Riggs is like, no, leave him to me, leave him to me. How, there was about 30 polis there.
But that's the thing. And if Gary Busey, character one, does he get let go? Does he go, right, go?
Aye, is
what's
it
the point?
Mortal Kombat and
aye,
for your
like,
freedom?
If
yeah,
you
yeah,
win,
yeah,
you can just leave? Does it fuck off?
Yes. I was thinking that when I was watching it. I was like, okay. And I know, like, obviously Marta was at the side being like, Riggs, let us get him. And he's like, no. There's about 30 polis in a circle, pure egging them
aye,
on. Like, what the fuck?
Is he going to let him kill him?
Yeah.
Then we're like, oh, we're going to arrest you now? What the fuck?
Because Murtaugh turns around to the captain or whatever and is like, if Riggs kills him, I'll take full responsibility. Like, he's killed a good few cops. Like, get this to fuck.
But that, and also when they drive through the house, why is Murtaugh allowing that to happen? Is that, I've got a plan. Go drive this car at your house, we'll get him. Is it? I think you fuck your
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, absolutely fucking not. And then, like, at the end of the movie, there's, like, the cardboard bit at the front
aye,
door and the big bit of plastic. That was all I was thinking. I was like, oh, the draft must have been freezing.
Aye.
But then also, it's LA. It's fucking roasting all the time. They don't even worry about drafts.
Fucking mental,
there,
man.
But is that all you've got? You
that's
got
all I've got.
One?
That one just stuck me. I was like, that's a bit weird.
No, 100%. That kind of says a lot, though, about this film. Like, do you know what? There probably are plot holes if we take a deeper look, right?
Yeah.
But this movie is so fast-paced, breakneck, that you don't have time to look deeper into it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's more just like, cool, now we're over here, cool, now we're over here, cool, now we're over here, and you're just like, I didn't bother, like, I think this is probably the least A's we've had for any movie.
Yeah.
So, do you have a worst guy whose hairline just seen?
I couldn't think of it, but see, now I'm thinking, like, I've had time to think about it. See
the
guy,
daughter? Cool.
No, no, the daughter, no, you and your weird sexual tension thing with the wind. It's the guy, see where they're at the club, and he does a lighter thing, the guy buying the coat, the heroin after.
Oh, yeah.
Discount Jason Clark.
Oh my, Ross, well done, spoil the discount version of.
That's the only one I had discount, but him, he, I don't even know what movie he thought he was in.
He's in a completely other movie than what everyone else is in.
That's the only one, like, he's my worst cunt.
Yeah, my worst cunt whose hairline's receding is Gary Busey's lack of eyebrows. I just feel like if you don't have eyebrows, there's something really unnerving about you, so you're immediately a worst cunt. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Aye, fair enough.
So, we'll dive into discount version of, guys, this is the first movie where we actually have proper discount versions of, because I was ready to scrap this altogether, because we were like, why, like, normally when we watch geek movies, we're like, oh, he's discount version of this, but then since we've started this podcast, we don't have any, but now we do, baby. So, you were saying your man there is discount version of Jason Clarke, the guy at the start. Yeah. I thought Huntstacker, is that his name? The old guy?
Yeah.
I thought he was like a discount version of Donald Sutherland. Like, I could see him in like a Channel 5 movie.
You see Donald Sutherland, didn't
yeah, it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, but it's got to be the Channel 5 movie
that
they wanted Donald Sutherland to be in.
No, fair enough, I'll give you that.
I mean, they obviously also think that the guys in the TV show are the discount versions of Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, but they're not. But I'll include it, but they're not.
I thought a year difference, you can't really. I don't even know anything about the TV show. I've never bought, didn't want to watch it, so.
No, do you know me? I knew it was coming out, but I just wasn't bothered.
Yeah.
So in the TV show, which is now cancelled, it got cancelled after 3 seasons.
Wouldn't surprise me. Aye.
Damon Wayans is Murtaugh.
For fuck's sake.
Obviously of the famous Wayne brothers.
Wayne's family, sorry, my bad.
And Riggs is a guy called Clayne Crawford, who, from looking at his filmography, has been in a lot of pish.
Right.
He was in The Perfect Host with Niles Crane as the bad guy. That was really creepy, that movie.
Oh, it's fine.
It wasn't good, but it was creepy. But yeah, going through your man's filmography, it's a lot of pish. It's all like sci-fi horror movies or like really cheap tweeny bopper rom-coms and stuff, like,
all right.
And then obviously the TV show is now cancelled after I think it finished on season 3, so like, girl, we'll move on to I'm Out. Do you have any parts of this movie where you're away?
Nah,
I was the same.
It's too fast paced and it's not that long a movie
for you to
have
just jump.
Time to build,
I was
just
thinking,
hits you with every bit, like,
absolutely.
There's always something memorable in most scenes.
Absolutely. I think you could maybe time your toilet break around like the family dinner, but you still need to see that. You need to see
the dynamic with the family.
You need to see Riggs softening up and stuff like that. So, like, yeah, you could, but don't. Do you know what I mean?
It wouldn't make sense for them all to threaten to be kidnapped or not if you didn't know who they were. Why would you care?
Like, oh, Marta, your family's been kidnapped. Like, oh, I didn't even know he had a family. Yeah, 100%. Well, that's been this week's episode of Lethal Weapon. The dogs have been pretty quiet.
Oh, it's been pretty chill for them.
Isn't it? I was really worried that we started recording this that they were all going to go off their nuts.
Movement.
They know.
Aye, they're fucked.
Right. As per, leave any thoughts and opinions on our Instagram and we'll be back with you next Wednesday. We're kind of in a toss-up of what to do next week, so that might be poll number 3 of this podcast.
What should we do? Aye, fair enough.
No worries. Well, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye!
I'm too old for this shit.
Ziggy, put that down!